Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our first and second readings from Daniel and from Revelation. Well, raise your hand to keep them raised if you don't mind. How many Michaels do we have in here today? Anybody named Michael? All right, we got Michael up here. All right. Now, how many of you named your children Michael? Okay. How many of you named a grandchild Michael? All right, got some more up here. Okay. How many of you have a brother named Michael? All right, there we go, got a few more. All right, how many of you just know a Michael? All right, there we go. Well, we got everybody up here. Okay, got it. Okay, good. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Now, ever wonder where that name came from? Well, as you read here and heard in our scripture readings today, Michael is a biblical name. Now, what does Michael's name mean? It means, who is like God? Interesting. Because if you think about it, that name is really a rhetorical question. Michael, who is like God? Now, we'll get back to that in a moment, but we'll find out why that truly is important. Now, we start out with our first reading here, Book of Daniel. Got Daniel there. Somebody comes up and puts his hand on him, and verses right prior to that there, well, this person is reflecting the brilliance of God, all right? So it's really a kind of a scary sight for him, and so he's trembling. But as he starts to talk to him, though, he's like, you know, relax, it's okay. You know, your prayers have been heard. And so then he starts to tell him about the one who came to provide him assistance. His name is Michael. Now, Michael is called one of the chief princes here. But also, too, we learn in the book of Jude, all right, in the New Testament, that Michael is also an archangel. And here's where we begin to see one of his most important tasks. Think about the situation back in Daniel's day. It had to have been one of the darkest moments there in Israel's history. Why? Because they've been hauled off into captivity, okay? King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian, right? Came down there and took all the people there, hauled them off up to Babylon. And that's where they were to serve. And so Daniel, one of those who's actually serving there in this kingdom, well, he's hearing about what's going on back in Jerusalem, back there in the home country, so to speak. And he's mourning over that. He's been fasting for 3 weeks at this point in time. And so here we have God coming here through this messenger, talking to Daniel, telling him about what's going to happen in the future. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. At that time. Okay? That's a clue about what's going to happen in the future there. At this time there is basically the time from when the Messiah is going to be born until the Messiah's second return. And here we learn that Michael shall arise and do what? The great prince who has charge of your people. What does it tell us here? It tells us that Michael is the protector of God's people. So all those who believe that the Messiah is to come are all protected there, and all who believe that the Messiah has come, he's their protector as well. That means you and me. So as Michael took charge, protected the people back then, so Michael takes charge and protects us today. It's a job that continues. And why is that so important to know? We go to our second reading for today. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, and he was defeated. And there was no longer any place for them in heaven. The great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. So Daniel was told about this latter times here that's going to happen. And here we have this description in here of what those latter times truly are, what was going to happen. It's hard to imagine, quite frankly, war going on in heaven. But that's exactly what happened. But it was Michael who defeated the dragon. And that's where we learn that ancient serpent there, who's known as the devil, Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. Now, where is it that we first learn about the serpent? We go back to that first book of the Bible, right? The serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And so here in our second reading, the last book, we learn that that serpent is indeed the devil. Devil means deceiver. And Satan means accuser or adversary, kind of like in the book of Job. Satan is the one who rebelled against God. And Michael defeats Satan. There's no longer any room for the devil and his angels. Now we can call them demons. No room for them in heaven. Now, how is it that they were actually defeated? Well, we continue on in our second reading for today. And it says, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have been conquered by him through the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even unto death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows his time is short. It's interesting here now when you consider Michael's name, who is like God? Really, as we have it in the context here about how he defeats the dragon and he's kicked out, but we learn why he was defeated. It was because of the blood of the Lamb. It points us right to Jesus. It is the blood of the Lamb, it is Jesus there, who died on the cross, who undid the work of the devil. And the work of the devil, well, that was his own rebellion there against God. And we know that the devil, that serpent there, tempted Adam and Eve to sin, right? Tempted them, and they did sin. And that inclination to sin has been passed on to us all. But yet it's Jesus who earned forgiveness of those sins, and Jesus earned forgiveness for all of our rebellious acts. And then we're given hope. Hope of spending our eternal days in heaven with him. Yet in the meantime, we're still here on this earth until Jesus returns and sends his angels out to the four corners there to gather all the believers unto him. And it leads us right back there to Revelation. Where did the devil and his angels get cast down? To the earth. And how did the devil feel about that? But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows his time is short. Great wrath. Yeah, he's hacked off. He's hacked off because he knows his own future. Okay? Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. That's where he knows his future is going to be. But in the meantime, though, the church has to contend with him. You and I are part of the church. We've been made part of the church by virtue of our baptisms. And because we who believe and have been baptized, our names are written then in the book of life. That also means we're targets, right? Yet God assures us that Michael and his angels are there to protect us. And that too is a great comfort, knowing that God is on our side. But still the devil is going to be very active in trying to separate you from your faith in Jesus. He's going to do it on a personal level. He's going to do it on the level of the local church, meaning right here at Trinity. He's going to do it on a state and national and world level as well. He's going to attack and attack and attack continually. He's going to try and create division. He's going to try and wear you down. And the goal is always to try to stop you from putting your faith in Jesus. If he succeeds in breaking that trust, he wins. But the reality is that he knows that he's already lost. You see, Jesus has won. And you who have faith in Jesus are on the winning side already. And that's why we need to be here in worship regularly. Come to receive Christ's body and blood. Because by that we have our faith strengthened, right? So that we can resist the devil. But it's also why we strive to do what? Share the testimony of Jesus with others, so that they too might come to know and understand what faith in Jesus truly means, that you have forgiveness and that you have hope of being in heaven. For you see, the battle that's going on here is a spiritual battle, and it has eternal consequences. But fear not the devil, resist him, and he will flee. And that's what gives us confidence from day to day. For our God wants us to be his people forever. And so he's with us in his word. He's with us in the sacraments that we're about to receive shortly. But he's also here with his angels, who are here to protect us as well. For the day will come in which we're going to be gathered unto the Lord. For the angels see the Father right now face to face and give him thanks and praise. And then one day we too will add our voices there as well. And so as they go and say, holy, holy, holy before the Lord, so we too as well. We will all give thanks and praise. For we have that honor of being there in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.